Welcome to the first ever Regina Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on Praise Jesus. There is a word from the Lord in Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation for all of those who are pulling it up on your phone. You can set that translation. That is what you're doing on the phone, right? You're not sending a text or anything like that, right? Praise the Lord. Oh, the technology. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. In 1964, a commercial debuted for a very familiar product. The commercial opens with a toddler sitting in a high chair, and apparently he has had enough to eat because he starts pushing away everything else that's given to him, except, finally, the Jell-O. And the commercial ends with, come on, baby boomers, "There's always room for Jell-O." The title of our message today is "There's Still Room for More." Will you bow in prayer with me? Precious Father, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we need you to minister your word to us. Even now, Father, give us all an ear to hear what your spirit is saying to us. Hide me behind your cross, O God, so that I'm not seen, but that only you are seen and you are heard and you are touched and you are felt. Minister this word as only you can. Pierce through anything in us that would rebel against this word. We yield to you now. Holy Spirit, have your way. And indeed, demonstrate to the powers of darkness that you are Lord here at the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, our souls do say amen. Amen. Now, our text today is a parable. A parable is simply a practical illustration that communicates great spiritual truth. A practical illustration that communicates great spiritual truth. This parable is called the parable of the great banquet. It is similar to the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22, but with some significant differences. The story in Luke's gospel, our text, was told at a dinner that Jesus attended. Jesus had just healed a man of dropsy, because you'll see dropsy in there. Basically, what dropsy means is edema. It's swelling of the soft tissue. And Jesus had just healed that man, and he had just finished teaching a brief lesson on serving others. We do know it's important to be a servant. No matter what we are, we're supposed to be a servant first. Amen. Servant leaders, servant deacons, servant ministers, servant trust. A servant comes first. Yeah. Oh, amen. Lest we forget who we are. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So after Jesus had taught that lesson, then he said, there was someone there who had, when Jesus had said, excuse me, y'all, that those who serve others will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That was in verse 14. When he said that, that's when that man got excited. And he said, what a blessing it's going to be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus then responded to his exuberance by telling the parable. And in plain English, a man planned a large banquet and sent out invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to contact each of the invited guests, telling them that all was ready and the meal was about to start. One after another, the guests made excuses for not coming. One had just bought a piece of land and said he had to go see it. Really? Really? Who is it that buys land and doesn't go and see it? Anybody in here bought a house and you didn't go see it first? Amen. Another had purchased some oxen and he was on his way to yoke them up and try them out. That doesn't work today. It didn't work then either, okay? Then another gave the excuse that he was newly married and therefore could not come. Well, earthly pleasures. What blessings from God will they cause us to miss? When the man heard these flimsy excuses, he was angry. He told his servant to forget the guest list and go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. When the servant brought in the down-and-out townspeople, he saw there was still room in the banquet hall. Still room for more. So he told his master this, and his master sent him out again, but this time on a broader search. Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Please know that there are eschatological implications in this parable. That's the doctrine of future things. But they're not our focus today. But I had to let y'all know that I knew that. Amen. I went to school a couple of days. Amen. Praise Jesus. As I said already, a parable is a practical illustration that communicates great spiritual truth. What that is in this parable is this. God sent out his invitation, the Lord Jesus Christ, to his chosen people, Israel. However, John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And we do know that Jesus came through the Jewish line. Amen. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say that, because this is the podcast version, right? Praise Jesus. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So God sent out another invitation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he said, they shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That included the Gentiles, which includes us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. Salvation is of the Jews, y'all. And if they had not, where would we be? Now, we do know a little bit our God, and he probably would have came up with some way to include us. But we don't know. But hallelujah, let us not forget that the scripture says salvation is of the Jews. And God wants his house to be full, and he wants us there too. Why? Because of his great love for humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That whosoever sound good, ain't Brother Chuck? Oh, hallelujah. Whosoever, thank God for the whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow, y'all. Do you know there's somebody in here, though, who heard what I just said, but they still don't believe it? It seems unbelief is our first excuse this morning. Oh, you don't think that could possibly mean you? Or maybe you're wondering if God loves you for real. Well, let's see. God's invitation, his word, will stand forever. But only for those who are on a list I have up here. Oh, hallelujah. Santa Claus ain't the only one with a list. I want you to listen closely to see if this invitation applies to you. These and only these on this list I have been invited to God's table, to his feast, to partake of his precious gift of salvation and new life. I'm about to read the list of the invitees to God's table, to his feast, to his salvation. Y'all ready? Those who have been known to lie a little or lie a lot, cheat a little or a lot, and or steal a little or a lot. The alcoholic, drug addict, sex addict, porn addict, gambler, the pedophile, gerontophile, the sadist, the masochist, the adulterer, the pimp, the prostitute, the whoremonger, and the wino, the dealer of drugs, barbiturates, weed, wet, coke, crack, heroin, those guilty of extortion, retail theft, or purchasing clothing for one event, wearing the item, and then returning it to the store. The booster, high-end jewel thief, burglar, robber, and anyone guilty of petty larceny. The one who receives stolen goods. That's why you dress like you do. I ain't looked out there at nobody. The fornicator, masturbator, instigator, manipulator, the adulterer, the swinger, the crude and the lewd, the arsonist, the murderer, the one in need of anger management. The road rage killers, mass casualty killers, and those who keep other humans chained up or in cages somewhere in their homes or on their property. Those with low self-esteem, high self-esteem, and no esteem at all. Anyone from the LGBTQ community. Those who have been abused, molested, or raped by a parent or parents, a sibling or siblings, an extended family member, a friend of the family, a neighbor, teacher, priest, pastor, any other clergy, deacon or trustee, a girl or boy scout leader, a youth minister, choir director, mother of the church, or that stranger lurking in the alleyway, or even by your so-called best friend. The jealous hearted, the envious, and those who covered their neighbor's house, spouse, or car. The fearful, the bold, the beautiful, and the plain. The wise, the foolish, the seeing and the blind, the deaf and the hearing. The healthy, the maimed, and the diseased. The poor, the rich, and the in-between. The outcasts of society. And the ones who cast them out, the newborn and the soon to die. I think that covers Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Oh, hallelujah. I said there's still room. There's still room for more. Hallelujah. I think everybody should have heard, found themselves on that list. But please, 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 don't use the excuse that I didn't mention everything that you do to stop you from coming to God's banquet. Seriously. Don't you let nobody, not even you, tell you that you can't be saved, that God doesn't love you, or that you are worthless. Because John 8:44 says he's a liar, that devil, and he's the father of them. What? You still don't think God could possibly want you after all that you have done? Well, let me tell you something. He loved you so much, so much. Now, let's pray I can get this in here. Okay. He loved you so much that he stretched out his arms on that cross, all the while saying to you, to me, and to every human, I love you this much. I dress myself in human flesh to come and die to pay for your sins so that one day you could be with me forever. Not just at the feast we have prepared for you, but so that you can live forever in the paradise we prepared for you long before we even made the world. I love you so much that I decided to forgive all of your sins, all of them. And they are many. But if you will not accept my gift, my free gift, the payment of your sins by me, the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin but became sin for you, then you will have to pay for your own sins. And you may or may not know that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you saved today? Are you sure? Pride is not an excuse, but it will be a reason some don't make it to God's banquet. So I ask again, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure, as you know your name is what it is, that you are saved? And if not, today you better make sure. Because there is absolutely, positively, no chance whatsoever to get saved after you die. The scripture says, in the day that you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't you worry about who around you think you saved. You know you're not saved. And let me tell you another reason why you had better be sure. We live in a world that is becoming more and more dangerous by the day. There's no safe place, not inside this church, nor anywhere else any of us might be. Not at work, not in the theater, not in an outside event, not even at a picnic. Not on the highway or a back road. Not at the mall, not at school, not on your block or in your development, your cul-de-sac, or in your gated community. Not in your high rise, not in your garage, or even in your living room. The truth of the matter is, there never was any place that was safe. And now we know it for sure. If you're not saved, please know today that hell is not the final destination. The lake of fire is. And since every human will receive a new body, an indestructible one, all those who have made one flimsy excuse after another throughout their lifetime for not receiving Jesus will have eternity to burn and burn and burn and burn. and scream and holler and burn and scream and holler and burn and burn and burn, knowing that they did not have to be there. But they said no one time too many, not knowing that their soul was going to be required of them long before they thought. One of the greatest excuses people use for putting off getting saved is, I've got time. Who told you that? And the second excuse is, there's nothing in the church but a bunch of hypocrites. Don't you risk your soul on what you think is someone else's hypocrisy. Tomorrow is not promised, but eternity is. By the way, those folks you think are hypocrites aren't. They're flat out not saved. They're good old church members, that's all. They're tares growing up with the wheat right now. But one day, they will be separated from the true Christians. And if you know you among the tares today, please accept that rhema word, because you know you're not saved. God's invitation runs throughout his word. One familiar text is Matthew 11:28-30, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We could say under sin. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right now, if you're not saved, you're yoked up to the devil. I ain't yoked up to no devil. Right now, if you're not saved, you're yoked up to the devil. The yoke is what they put on the animals around their necks for the two of them to be able to walk together and carry the load evenly. The devil's yoke makes you carry the weight of your sin day in and day out. And then you come in here on Sunday and wonder if anybody knew. His yoke also makes you carry the weight of your guilt day in and day out. His yoke constantly reminds you of where you're wrong, how many times you've been wrong, and how you will never be right. But being yoked to Jesus is different, because he will carry the weight for us, making our burden light. That's why when we get saved, somebody has said, we say, I looked at my hands and they look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. But you know why? It's because the burden of our sin was lifted. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're not saved today, as the deacons come, then run down this aisle and give your life to the Lord. Don't wait until we get a new pastor. Time as we know it could run out before then. The end could come this afternoon at 5:17 p.m. Jesus could step on that mountain, crack the sky, and we're out of here. No more excuses. God loved you so much that if you had been the only person on this planet, Jesus would have died for you. God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. There is still room for more at God's table, because there's still room for more at the cross. Won't you come this morning? The songwriter wrote the song, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. But today, please know, that's just a song, okay? There's not just room for one. There's room for another and another and another and another. There is still room for more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're not saved, you know you're not saved. You know you're one of those good old church members. You serve on ministries. You're faithful every time they call on you to do something. But you've never been born again. Don't trifle with your soul today. You're not trifling with your life. You're trifling with your soul. If you know you're not saved, come on down the aisle and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ.